Matt's going to pull double duty for us again, and we're going to look at three songs tonight, and as we study some background of some of the songs that we sing. In order to understand some of the circumstances in which they were written, but also to help us appreciate even more the words and what they mean to us as we sing them. Tonight I want to talk about three songs. I'll talk about one where two sisters wrote poems and short stories to sell in order to supplement their family's income during hard times. We'll talk about a song that we sing that was a poem that a son wrote to his mother who was going through a difficult time, and it was intended for his mother, but it was published into a song. And I want to talk about an author who wrote a song, very dedicated preacher, and said something that was prophetic, and it didn't turn out good for him. I hope you'll listen for those as we talk about these three songs. The first one is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Very familiar song to all of us, I'm sure. And as we have studied in these songs, we've seen that many of them were written by authors who were going through very, very difficult times, even tragic times in their own lives. And this beautiful song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," is one of those. In fact, one of the sources I was reading about the background to this song began with these words. Joseph Scriven, the author, watched in shock as the body of his fiancée was pulled from the lake. And it didn't give the circumstances, but that was the trial that he was going through. Their wedding had been planned for the very next day. And reeling from this tragedy, he made up his mind to leave Ireland and immigrate to America. And so he did that. And he packed his belongings in Dublin, Ireland, and sailed for Canada, leaving his mother behind. He was 25 years old at the time. 10 years later, you'll notice the song was written in 1855. This was 10 years after he went to Canada. He received word that his mother was facing a crisis. And so to try to comfort and encourage his mother, he sat down and wrote this poem that begins, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." So it was written to comfort, to console his mother. But apparently Mrs. Scriven shared this poem with a friend of hers who had it published, and it quickly became a popular hymn, though no one initially knew who had written it. Meanwhile, Joseph Scriven fell in love again, but tragedy struck a second time when his bride-to-be, Eliza Catherine Roche, contracted tuberculosis and died before their wedding could take place. To escape his sorrow, Joseph poured himself into his ministry, and he lived a simple, obscure life in Port Hope, Canada. He would cut firewood for widows. He would give away his clothes and money to those in need. He was described with these words, a man of short stature, with iron gray hair, close-cropped beard, and light blue eyes that sparkled when he talked. Ira Sankey wrote concerning Joseph Scriven, "Until a short time before his death, it was not known that he had a poetic gift. A neighbor sitting up with him in his illness happened upon a manuscript copy of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Reading it with great delight and questioning Mr. Scriven about it, Mr. Scriven said that he had composed it for his mother to comfort her in a time of special sorrow, not intending that anyone else should see it. Sometime later, when another Port Hope neighbor asked him if it was true that he composed the hymn, his reply was, 'The Lord and I did it between us.'" Let's sing together, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
416, please.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
I'm thinking songs such as this one really mean a lot to us when we're going through a difficult time. And how many of us have thought about these words when in such a case? And perhaps these words really resonate with us because of the author, and in this case, his experiences, and how his heart was broken, but out of that brokenness, he was able to find comfort in his relationship with God through his son, Jesus. A second song I want us to consider is Stand Up for Jesus by George Duffield, Jr. Let me give you some background on this author and what and how the words came about to this song. Dudley Tien served as his father's assistant at a church in Philadelphia. His father retired, and so Dudley began to serve as the main minister of this church, an Episcopal church, when he was only 29 years old. Things went very, very well for him until he started vigorously preaching against slavery. This is in the 1850s. And then there began to be complaints from the more conservative members, resulting in his resignation in 1856. He organized another church somewhere else in the city of Philadelphia, and his reputation grew. He began to hold Bible studies at the YMCA in Philadelphia. And his ministry reached far beyond his own church walls. He had a burden for leading husbands and fathers to Christ. And so he helped organize a great rally to reach men. And on Tuesday, March 30th, 1858, 5,000 men gathered for this rally. 5,000 men. And Dudley looked over this sea of faces and he felt overwhelmed. And he said, "I would rather this right arm were amputated at the trunk than I should come short of my duty in delivering God's message." The reading I was consulting said that over 1,000 men gave their lives to Christ that day. 2 weeks later, this is the sad part, Dudley was visiting in the countryside watching a corn thrasher in the barn. And his hand moved too close to the machine and his sleeve was snared. And his right arm badly injured. And 4 days later, it had to be amputated close to the shoulder. When it appeared he was dying, Dudley said to his aged father, "Stand up for Jesus, Father, and tell my brethren of the ministry to stand up for Jesus." I'm not sure, I didn't find this in my resources, if he died as a result of that injury. But when his funeral was preached, there was someone in attendance by the name of George Duffield Jr., who was deeply stirred at Dudley's funeral. Apparently, this story that I relate to you was told at his funeral. And the following Sunday, George Duffield Jr. preached from his pulpit on Ephesians 6, verse 14. And he read a poem that he had written inspired by Dudley's words. And that poem reads, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss." Let's sing together, "Stand Up for Jesus."
"262, please. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, for Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, but never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be low. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's soul. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
And one more, the beloved Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Anna and Susan Warner lived in a lovely townhouse in New York City, where their father, Henry Whiting Warner, was a successful lawyer. But the panic of 1837 wrecked the family's finances. And I read a little bit about the panic of 1837. And there was a recession from that day, from that year into the 1840s. And unemployment was extremely high, as much as 25% in some places. A lot of businesses closed. So that's the circumstances in which the Warners were really found struggling. And so Anna and Susan Warner wrote poems and stories for publications to help supplement the family income. By the way, they had to move out of that lovely townhouse to a ramshackle Revolutionary War era home on Constitution Island on the Hudson River, right across from the Military Academy at West Point. But Anna and Susan began to write. Anna wrote Robinson Crusoe's Farmyard. Susan wrote The Wide, Wide World. And the girls thus launched parallel literary careers, which resulted in 106 publications, 18 of which they wrote together. One of their most successful joint projects was a novel entitled Say and Seal, in which a little boy named Johnny Fox was dying. And his Sunday school teacher, John Linden, comforts little Johnny by taking him in his arms and rocking him back and forth and making up a little song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, this novel became a bestseller, second only to Uncle Tom's Cabin. And when hymn writer William Bradbury read the words of John Linden's little song, he composed a childlike musical score to go along with them. And soon Jesus Loves Me became the best known children's hymn on earth. Probably a claim that still holds true even today. Let's sing Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me, I will try to live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
The Warner sisters, even though they published 106 poems and short stories, never seemed to be able to recover from those staggering financial reverses from the panic of 1837. Years later, a friend wrote, "One day when sitting with Miss Anna in the old living room, she took from one of the cases a shell so delicate that it looked like lacework, and holding it in her hand, with eyes dimmed with tears, she said, 'There was a time when I was very perplexed. Bills were unpaid, necessities must be had, and someone sent me this exquisite thing. And as I held it, I realized if God could make this beautiful home for a little creature, he would take care of me. For 40 years, Susan and Anna conducted Bible classes for cadets at West Point, and both were buried with full military honors. They're the only civilians buried in the military cemetery at West Point. To this day, their home on Constitution Island is maintained by West Point as a museum to their memory. Beloved song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. No truer words, no greater words have been spoken. Perhaps they best sum up the scriptures that yes, Jesus loves us. He loves you and me so much that he gave his life for us so that we might live with him for an eternity. Perhaps it's your desire tonight to respond to the love that God demonstrated by giving his own son toward us, for us. If you desire to become a child of God by being baptized into Christ as a penitent believer, if you need to come back as one who's wandered away, we invite you to come. We plead with you to come right now as we stand and sing.